A deadly midair collision is under investigation in Pennsylvania right now. A small Cessna 150 reportedly struck a Pennsylvania State Police helicopter last night. This was right near Carlisle Airport. The plane's pilot was killed. Two state troopers aboard that helicopter were reportedly injured, but are expected to recover. Now, the FAA and the NTSB are investigating what even caused the crash. And joining us back on the show whenever we hear about any troubles in the skies, retired commercial airline pilot Paul Zielinski from right here in Connecticut joins us. Paul, what can you tell us? I know this is all new information just coming in literally in the last few minutes, but what can you share with us?
Yeah, there's not too much information out there, but I can give you a little bit of a background of the airport operations and what may have led to the crash.
Please, that'd be great.
It happened at Carlisle Airport in Pennsylvania. It's a small, uncontrolled airport, which means there's no control tower, and everyone that's flying there follows the rules, and everyone obeys the rules, and things should operate safely. And we use the radios to talk to each other on a specific frequency. When you're at the airport, you announce your presence and you tell them what you're going to do, and everyone keeps an eye out for each other. The strange thing that a lot of people aren't aware of is it's not required that you have a radio to fly. And the Cessna 150, the airplane that hit the helicopter, may not even have had a radio. So what you have to do is, we call it see and avoid. You keep your eyes out, you follow the rules, but you're not telling anybody that you're there. If the Cessna did not have a radio, he may not have been aware that the helicopter was even on the field at the time.
Okay, so you just pointed out two very troubling things, but maybe I don't have perspective like you do. And again, Paul Zielinski is a retired commercial airline pilot, also worked in the military. So he understands being up in the air, and he knows so many of these airports across the country. This is why I love to talk to him. So first of all, did not even know. I've never been to Carlisle Airport. So is this a very small airport? Like, I'm shocked that there's no traffic control tower. Is that a thing? Is that like a normal thing at very small airports that you wouldn't have that?
It's a huge thing. I mean, there are so many small airports out there that there's no way that the FAA can man everyone with a tower. And they don't necessarily get a lot of traffic, so it's not necessary. As long as everybody's following the rules and they use the concept of see and avoid and everyone's careful, it happens. These incidents don't occur very frequently, and then everyone pays attention and operates safely. Even bigger airports that not like Atlanta or Chicago, but like Augusta, Georgia, and Macon, Georgia, and these medium-sized airports, the tower closes down at night at 11 o'clock. Everybody goes home, and everyone comes back at 6 in the morning. And there's a period of time in the middle of the night later that there is no control tower operating. So they basically revert to an uncontrolled airport. And as an airline pilot, I've flown into these airports late at night and early in the morning when they weren't open. And I do the same thing that the small airplanes do. It's see and avoid, and you announce your intentions on the radio. And like I said, everyone operates pretty safely.
So I can almost get on board with how calm you are about this. If the second thing you pointed out wasn't so concerning, why would we have any aircraft without a radio? That's alarming to me, but maybe it doesn't need to be. Maybe that's par for the course, and this is really such a rarity that we're just focusing on, and it just happened. But to me, that's surprising that there would be any aircraft without a radio system.
And believe it or not, I agree with you 100%. I think a radio is very important, whether it's to announce where you are, or if you get into trouble, you can call for help. It's a holdover from the old days when they didn't have radios. Back in the beginning of aviation, we didn't have radios on the airplanes, and it was way before my time. I can't believe I said we, but they didn't have radios and airplanes, and it wasn't necessary because it wasn't that busy. But I agree with you. In today's day and age, I'm not sure why they still allow airplanes to fly without radios.
Well, because I'm trying to think, and I know this is obviously to a totally different scale, but the mid-air collision that happened in D.C., weren't radios also, I think there were radios on board, but they were, wasn't one of them had them shut off or something? Like the radios also came up in that mid-air collision as well, I thought.
I don't recall.
I don't recall either, but I thought that was something that came up.
But an interesting thing is, and I'm not sure about the situation in D.C., but the military uses a different frequency than the civilians. The civilians use a VHF. It's called very high frequency radios. And the military, most of the military uses UHF, ultra high frequency. So you can have airplanes operating in the same area talking on different frequencies. The thing is the air traffic controller, if they're being controlled by air traffic control, can talk on both frequencies. And when we're flying around, when I was flying around as a civilian, I would hear the controller talk to a military airplane, but I wouldn't hear the military airplane respond because we were on different frequencies. So that's a little bit, that tends to cause a few problems because you're just unaware of what these other airplanes are doing.
This is going to sound super elementary, though, Paul. I mean, is it as simple as adding that frequency for military or even in this case, I don't know if it'd be state police if they're on that same kind of wavelength, but is that simple to be able, because I get it, like maybe they don't want to be on the same frequency in case they're in the middle of a mission or they're doing a training that they can't share what the details are. Like I get that, but isn't there would there be an easy fix or a way to add a frequency where they could talk to commercial airline or even civilian pilots? That seems like a simple fix, but again, I'm no engineer. I don't know. To me, though, that seems kind of crazy that there's even that disconnect that they can't talk to each other on radios or have the same frequency.
Right. There is a disconnect, and the controllers are good about handling both frequencies. It comes back to everything in aviation costs money, and to install another radio, have a civilian install a UHF frequency, an ultra high frequency radio is cost prohibitive, and it does help the congestion on the frequencies. Sometimes there's a lot of verbal traffic going on the frequencies, and if you have the military and the civilians talking on different frequencies, it frees up a lot of space. I think the radio frequencies would just be too congested if everybody was on the same frequency.
So, Paul, whenever you hear about these incidents happening, and of course, we still are waiting for more details to come out after this mid-air collision happened last night. And again, Paul just kind of giving us some more perspective from a retired commercial pilot perspective. And of course, he's landed at this airport and has, I think, a lot of insight, but we still don't have confirmed details as to how this crash happened. I am curious, though, Paul, I always love to kind of reiterate to people, would you still consider air travel one of the safest ways? Because you know, when these stories pop up, people start to panic for understandable reasons, and hysteria kind of surrounds the, air travel, if you will, industry. And so wanted to be able to, of course, always check in with you and see what you think about that.
Yeah, most people, when they fly commercially, and especially in the United States, it's highly regulated. Everyone is trained. Everybody knows their job. Everybody's trying to do the best that they can. So flying commercially in the United States is the safest way to travel. It's safer than driving in your car on I-95, and the statistics prove that. You're giving up some control, and people have a hard time with that. But you're placing the control of people who are highly competent and capable of getting to where you want to go safely. The smaller airplanes, the little ones, the ones that we were talking about today, they do have an inherent risk. I'm not going to say it's it's dangerous, but I can say that it's riskier than actually flying a commercial airliner. And the pilots know that, and they deal with that, and they do their best to stay trained and fly safe airplanes. But like I said, inherently, it's a bit riskier than commercial flying.
Paul Zielinski, always appreciate having your insight on the show. Thank you so much. And for those of you listening at home, we will certainly keep you posted when new details come up in this investigation surrounding a mid-air collision, a deadly one that is still under investigation in Pennsylvania between a small Cessna 150 and a state police helicopter. Paul, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Liz.
All right. We're going to be right back. You're listening to WICC, the Voice of Connecticut.